Hey friends, before we get into this episode, I want to let you know you're going to hear about a guide that I talk about in this episode of the podcast. This guide is your guide to essential fatty acids, and it can be downloaded at thebreastcancerrecoverycoach.com/oil, O-I-L. All right, let's get into the show. You're listening to Better Than Before Breast Cancer with the Breast Cancer Recovery Coach. I'm your host, Laura Lummer. I'm a certified life coach, and I'm a breast cancer thriver. In this podcast, I will give you the skills and the insights and the tools to move past the emotional and physical trauma of a breast cancer diagnosis. If you're looking for a way to create a life that's even better than before breast cancer, you've come to the right place. Let's get started. Hello, hello. You're listening to episode 326, and I am your host, Laura Lummer. And today we're going to, I think there's a phrase, right? Chew the fat. We're going to chew the fat. We're going to talk a lot about fats. You know, I talk on this show about staying in ketosis, and there are many ways to stay in ketosis or get into ketosis. I use fasting and I use a ketogenic diet for me. And I get a lot of questions about fats because there's so many misunderstandings about a ketogenic diet. A ketogenic diet is a low-carb diet, but it's also a high-fat diet. So you can follow lots of different low-carb ways of eating and not be following a ketogenic diet. Say, for instance, you were following a paleo way of eating, which is a little bit higher in protein, but still low in carbohydrates. So when I'm talking about a ketogenic diet, the percent of fats in relation to protein and carbohydrates is quite high. And so a lot of people have concerns that that's unhealthy for your heart, unhealthy for your body, or that there's a lot of greasy stuff involved. And let me tell you, I'm not a fan of greasy, gooey, fatty stuff, okay? I follow a ketogenic diet that's full of very healthy fats and very plant-forward. In fact, I love eating plants. I was a vegetarian for a very long time. I've even been a vegan for a period of time. So it's very important to me to have a balanced diet that's full of healthy fats and lots of plants, okay? But I want to clear up some confusion about fats. And there's so many different things we could talk about. But today, I want to focus on helping you understand in the simplest form the difference between omega-3 fats, omega-6 fats, and how seed oils and cooking oils play a part in that. What we want to do to support our optimal health, regardless of the diet you follow. This is not about eating just a ketogenic diet. This is not about staying in ketosis. That's stuff for another podcast. But this is about understanding what a healthy fat is. And I know, unless you live under a rock, you've heard about omega-3s and omega-6s, polyunsaturated, monounsaturated. We'll talk about all those fats. And you may or may not have heard all the controversy about seed oils. And here's something I think happens a lot. People go out on social media or wherever they go out on, and they just say, this is bad, don't eat it. And you don't understand why. And I like to understand why. I don't want to take anyone or anything at face value when someone says, oh, no, that's just bad for you. Well, why is it bad for me? And if they can't answer that question, then I'm going to try to figure that out for myself. So I want to help you understand the differences between these fats, what we seek to do when we're eating these fats, and the impact they have on your health, so you can make an informed decision as to whether or not you want to use these things in your food. Okay, so let's get down to chewing the fat. All right, so we're going to talk about omega-3s and omega-6s. These are called polyunsaturated fats. And I'm not going to go into the chemical structure of what makes them a polyunsaturated fat because I don't think most people want to hear it. But let's just talk about what they are. Okay, so polyunsaturated fats are one of the four main types of fats. We got polyunsaturated, monounsaturated, saturated, and trans fats. The term polyunsaturated does refer to the chemical structure of these fats. And again, I'm not going to go into it, but I'm just going to help you think about the fact that Saturated fats, because of their chemical structure, get solid at room temperature. Polyunsaturated and monounsaturated are going to be liquid at room temperature. Okay, so this is how we're going to distinguish them without going into chemistry. All right. Polyunsaturated fats are also called essential fats. That means that we need omega-6 and omega-3 fatty acids for our bodies to function, but our body doesn't make them. So our body makes a lot of stuff. It makes cholesterol, it makes vitamin D, it makes glucose, it makes a lot of things. But if you hear the word essential, like if it's an essential amino acid, there are 9 essential amino acids, meaning we can't get them from just inside of our body. We've got to get them from the diet. So omega-6 and omega-3 fatty acids are essential fatty acids that we need to get from our diet. These fatty acids play a really important role in our cell membrane integrity. Right? So the cell membrane, the little wrapper around every cell, we want to keep that integrity because it's a super busy thing, the little wrapper around a cell. It's got receptors that open and close and it does all kinds of cool stuff. Polyunsaturated fats are important for keeping that healthy. They're also important for our brain function and for the regulation of inflammation. So polyunsaturated fats can have a positive impact on our heart health. We're going to talk about how in just a minute. So there are two main types of polyunsaturated fats, omega-3 and omega-6. And what's important about these fats isn't the amount. Like for instance, you can look up the recommended daily allowance of pretty much anything, salt, sugar, fat, carbohydrates. But what's important about polyunsaturated fats is the balance, the ratio of omega-6 to omega-3 fatty acids in your diet. And there's no really established recommended intake as much as the focus is on the balance. So what do omega-3s do? Omega-3s are known as anti-inflammatory polyunsaturated fats. They have anti-inflammatory properties and they play a role in our brain and our eye development. And lots of scientific studies associate omega-3 fatty acids with lowering the risk of heart disease, depression, and arthritis. Omega-6 fatty acids are primarily used for energy, and they are known to be pro-inflammatory, so they increase inflammation. But increased inflammation at the right time for short periods of time is an important and necessary function of our immune system. What's important is that we don't want to have excessive amounts of omega-6 acids relative to the amount of omega-3 acids that you consume, because that links itself to creating more inflammation in our body, and chronic inflammation is linked to chronic disease. So since we're talking about ratios, what is a healthy ratio of omega-6 to omega-3? Well, historically, it's thought that humans, before we started having a food industry, before the agricultural revolution, that in our natural diets, that the ratio of omega-6 to omega-3 fatty acids was pretty close to 1:1. And the recommended healthy ratio today is anywhere from 1:1 to 4:1. We don't want to go over 4:1, and we want to get as close as we can to 1:1. So what is the estimated general intake, the estimated ratio of the average American diet today? Remember, our target is 1:1 to 4:1. It's thought that the ratio generally consumed through the standard American diet is a ratio of 15:1 or 17:1 or even higher. Yikes. That and when I say 17:1, we're talking 6 to 3. The 6 number is always going to come first. So we want to be 4:1 to 1:1, and we're talking about being 15:1 in the average diet. What does that tell you from what we've already talked about? It tells you that we're eating a really highly inflammatory diet. What is one of the drivers of chronic disease? Chronic inflammation. So when you hear, wait, we want to do 1:1 or 4:1, if omega-6 fatty acids are inflammatory, why are we recommending that people eat more omega-6 than omega-3? Shouldn't we be flipping that and saying eat more omega-3? Well, the recommendation isn't to eat more omega-6. But as you just heard from what the standard American diet is, the recommendation is to bring down omega-6 to that 4, 3, 2, or 1 level while we're trying to increase omega-3s and get them as high as we possibly can. Because the imbalance in our diet currently is mostly credited to the high consumption of processed foods, vegetable oils, meaning seed oils like soybean, corn, sunflower oils, and the very low intake of omega-3 rich foods, which I'm going to give you some lists of those foods here in a sec. This chronic high ratio of omega-6 to omega-3 has been associated with not only increased inflammation, like we just talked about, but the higher risk of all chronic diseases, including heart disease, cancer, and autoimmune diseases. So where do we get these healthy omega-3 fatty acids from? They're primarily found in fish and in plant oils. They're considered very beneficial for our heart health, our brain health, and again, overall inflammation reduction. And these omega-3s are probably things that you've heard of a lot because you hear alpha-linolenic acid, or ALA. You may hear DHA. I'm not going to go into the long scientific names because you probably haven't even heard them. But you hear about ALA, EPA, DHA. Those are all omega-3 fatty acids and primarily found in marine oils. So kind of a catch-22 in our world today because our ocean is so full of toxins, you don't want to eat too many fish, but you want to have a good balance of fresh marine oils and other omega-3 sources, which I'll get into here in a sec. Omega-6 fatty acids are found mostly in plant-based oils and processed foods. And you'll hear these oils referred to as AAs. So I'm going to list for you a couple of different foods from omega-3 rich food categories to omega-6 rich foods. You don't have to remember these. I'm going to put them in a document for you along with some of the information that I talk about on this show. And you can download that for yourself at thebreastcancerrecoverycoach.com. Or you can find a link to it where you're watching this podcast or listening to this podcast. Okay, so you can download that and use it as a reference for yourself. But some omega-3 rich foods are salmon, mackerel. Some people love mackerel, but I got to tell you, I hesitated even putting that one in because I find it so gross. But I know a lot of people like it. So mackerel is just a very oily fish. Sardines, which surprisingly, you know, sardines used to be something that I thought of was really gross. And I've learned to love sardines. I've learned to love wild-caught sardines because really they're very similar to tuna. I get them without the heads and stuff on them, like I get them all cleaned up. But I throw those on top of my salads often, and I really enjoy them. Anchovies, also very high in omega-3s. So I think you kind of get this sense of there's a theme here, right? They're kind of oily, fattier fish that have these high omega-3 ratios. And they're good in things like making your own salad dressings, throwing them onto salads, mixing them in with vegetables, or just snacking on their own if you like a nice, flavorful, kind of a strong flavored fish. Some plant-based omega-3s are going to be your chia seeds, your flax seeds, hemp seeds, which I got to tell you, I love hemp seeds. I use them on so many things. And I get big bags of them at Costco. They have organic hulled hemp seeds. They're high in protein. They're high in omega-3s. I throw them on vegetables. I throw them into, like, instead of using breadcrumbs as something, like if I make meatballs or something that you would normally put breadcrumbs in, I put hemp seeds in them. I put them on salads. I love this stuff. You can put them on yogurt and they have a nice nutty flavor. Walnuts are another good source of omega-3s. Edamame, this again, you got to be careful with. Edamame is soybeans. And soybean crops are one of the most commonly genetically modified crops. So if you're going to eat edamame for the benefit of the omega-3s, you want to check and make sure that it is an organic edamame and not a genetically modified crop. Kidney beans are another one that are rich in ALA. Seaweed and algae-based sources, also very rich in omega-3. So you can see it's like, again, thinking about things from the sea. cod liver oil, again, very high in omega-3s, herring, and oysters. So let's talk about some omega-6 rich foods. And you're going to see a theme here as well. Soybean oil, corn oil, mayonnaise, walnuts. Now, walnuts were in both categories because they are a good source of omega-3s, but they also have a significant amount of omega-6. Sunflower seeds, almonds, cashews, peanut butter, safflower oil, pine nuts, chicken, eggs. Omega-3s are in the yolks and omega-6s are in the yolks, avocado oil, and tofu. Now, you probably heard some crossover in those lists. And again, remember, some foods are going to have both omega-3s and omega-6s in them. A lot of foods will. And we're looking to seek balance. So what happens if you're like, wait, but I love walnuts and I love chicken and I love eggs. They're high in omega-6. I shouldn't eat them. That is absolutely not what I'm saying. You want to think about balance. So if you have a food that's a little higher in omega-6, then you want to combine that food with something that may be higher in omega-3s. So in the download that you can get at thebreastcancerrecoverycoach.com/36, I'm not only going to give you this list of foods, but I'm going to give you 10 different meal ideas. And these meal ideas are super simple. They're not like big recipes. They're going to tell you how much of this and how much of that. I'm just going to give you some ideas of things that you can bring together to make a nice balanced meal. Like for instance, grilled salmon with quinoa and steamed broccoli. Okay. That's going to be a nice balanced omega-6 to omega-3 meal. Something else like chia seed pudding with mixed berries. Or avocado and egg toast on flaxseed bread. So I'll give you some different combinations that are just ideas that are super simple. So you don't need ingredients and amounts. Just put them together the way you like to eat them. And you can find those in the handout to help you get a better idea of how to balance out your food and put your meals together in a way where you're increasing your intake of omega-3 and decreasing, but still getting that healthy source of omega-6. So let's talk about seed oils. I said in the beginning that there's a lot of controversy out there, not controversy actually, but a lot of people talking about the unhealthy nature of seed oils. So seed oils are high in omega-6 fats. We obviously use seed oils a lot in cooking, but they're used a lot in food processing because they give a lot of shelf stability to processed foods. But their high omega-6 content can really contribute to that imbalance in your dietary intake and increase inflammation in your body. So we're going to look at oils that are high in omega-6s, and I'm going to give you some oils that are a little healthier for you. And we'll also look at the difference between how these oils are processed that also contributes to how they impact our health, and then also the temperatures with which you cook them. So all of these things can have an effect on your intake of one, healthy fats, and two, your 6-to-3 ratio. So soybean oil, this is used a lot in processed foods, and it's very high in omega-6 fats. Corn oil, just about every freaking package thing you look at has corn oil in it. That is not only an issue because corn is high in omega-6 content, but because corn, just like soybean, is one of those really commonly genetically modified crops. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a minute. Cottonseed oil. This is another one that I don't think you're going to go to the grocery store and buy a bottle of cottonseed oil, but it is very frequently used in processed foods and especially in fried foods. And it's very high in omega-6 fatty acids. Sunflower oil and safflower oil, these ones are high in omega-6, but there's lots of different varieties of them, and so the omega-6 levels are going to vary between varieties. Grapeseed oil, this is another one that you'll find a lot in salad dressings, very high omega-6. I'm going to give you some numbers in a second. And then we've got sesame oil and peanut oil. All right, so let's take a look at some of the things we hear about as healthier oils. Olive oil, especially extra virgin olive oil, the good old EVOO, has a lot of monounsaturated fats and antioxidants, which is good for our health. And it's got a relatively low omega-6 to omega-3 ratio. But still, that ratio is pretty generally around 10 to 1. So it's not a significant source of omega-3 fatty acids, but it's got a lot of other health benefits because of the monounsaturated fat content and the polyphenols that are in it. Avocado oil has a similar fatty acid profile to olive oil, coming in at about 13 to 1. But again, it's praised for its monounsaturated fats more than its omega-3 content. Coconut oil pretty much has no significant omega-6s or omega-3s. The benefit of coconut oil is the medium chain triglycerides that you find in coconuts and also the high smoke point, so it can be used a lot in cooking. Now, when we look at soybean oil, this is going to be interesting, right? Because the omega-6 to omega-3 ratio ranges anywhere from 7 to 1 to 10 to 1. So you're like, wait, hold on. Didn't we say that soybean oil was one of those that wasn't good? But then the ratio of 6 to 3 fatty acids is right up there with olive oil and avocado oil. But the difference is that soybean oil, again, is going to have that higher omega-6 without the benefit of the monounsaturated fat, the polyphenols, and it is a highly processed oil. Plus, it's going to be a good chance that if you go and buy soybean oil, you're getting a genetically modified crop that was used to make this oil. Corn oil. Corn oil comes in with a ratio of about 46 to 1. Yikes. It's very high in omega-6 fatty acids. And again, very commonly a genetically modified crop that's going to require solvents to extract oil. Think about it. Think about going and getting corn in its natural state. You get an ear of corn on the cob. How oily is corn on the cob? Let's say that you dry the kernels of corn. You have popcorn. Is it oily when you make popcorn? It's not. So in order to get oils out of these foods, you can't just mechanically press them, like throwing an olive in a press and squeezing out the oils, right? They've got to put solvents in these to extract them. Cottonseed oil. So cottonseed oil not only has a large amount of omega-6, but it's got basically no omega-3s. Sunflower oil is going to come in at about 40 to 1, omega-6 to omega-3. And safflower oil ratios can be over 75 to 1, omega-6 to omega-3. Grapeseed oil, I hope you're sitting down, because that's going to come in at 696 to 1, omega-6 to omega-3 ratio. Extremely high. Sesame oil is another one. This is an interesting one because the ratio is about 50 to 1. But sesame oil is a unique one when we're talking about these seed oils because sesame oil is high in antioxidants. It's got antioxidants called sesamolin, sesamol, and sesamin, which also have protective health benefits in their fatty acid profile. They're antioxidants, and they can help neutralize free radicals and potentially reduce inflammation. So again, thinking of balancing, and if you're going to go with sesame oil, which I love sesame oil. I love the flavor of sesame oil. It's so rich, and I like to drizzle it on top of my broths. But when I do use it, I'm mindful again of the balance in my overall diet, because that's what we have to be thinking of, right? Let's not think in a silo. Let's not think that any of this one food is bad, except yes, seed oils are bad. Don't eat those. But overall, like the sesame oil, the avocado oil, the higher 6-to-1 ratios, let's not demonize them and just know that it's, again, about the overall balance. And then I think I left off at, let's see, it was sesame oil. So also peanut oil. This is another one that's got about a 32-to-1 omega-6 to omega-3 ratio. So let's touch a minute, and I keep mentioning GMO. So let's touch for a minute on GMO crops. Okay, so these are genetically modified organisms. And GMO crops are a very controversial crop. So you may have your opinion on them. You may feel safe, you may not. But there's a lot of controversy behind GMO crops and the impact that they may have on our health. One of the most commonly genetically modified crops is soybean. So if you're consuming soybeans and you're not looking to be sure they're organic, you can pretty much assume that that oil came from a genetically modified organism, because in the United States, over 90% of soybeans are genetically modified. Corn oil, that's another one. over 90% of corn oil genetically modified in the United States. And I'm telling you, go in your refrigerator, go in your pantry, pick up anything in a bottle, anything in a package. There's a really high chance you're going to see cornstarch, corn oil, or some other corn derivative inside of that product. And it's because it's so inexpensive. These genetically modified crops also, it's very commonly used. Cottonseed oil is another one. It's put in a lot of processed foods like potato chips, margarines, mayonnaise, salad dressing, and canned foods. And it is a highly common genetically modified crop in India and in the United States. Most likely, if you have cottonseed in something, it's going to be produced from GMO cotton. And again, let's think about an oil from cotton. How oily is cotton, people? So where the heck are we getting the oil from it? Then we've got canola oil. A significant amount of this oil is genetically modified, especially in Canada and the United States. And there's a variety of canola oils, and the percentage that's genetically modified can vary, but it's actually pretty high. Sunflower and safflower oil have a little bit lower rates of genetic modification compared to soy, corn, cotton, and canola. So if you're going to go with a seed oil that you have a better chance of getting something that didn't come from a GMO, then it could be something like sunflower or safflower, but I would recommend avoiding them if you can. Let's look at coconut. Let's look at the ones we're talking about, healthy oils. When we hear the oils that are recommended, they're coconut, avocado, and olive, right? Well, coconut, there's no commercially available genetically modified varieties of coconuts. So if you're going to get coconut oil, you're pretty safe in knowing it's going to be a non-GMO oil. Avocado oil, like coconuts, no GMO avocados on the market. So avocado oil is going to be naturally non-GMO. Olive oil, again, it's easy to get this stuff. It's pressed from whole olives, and there are currently no genetically modified olives commercially available on the market. So it's going to be a good chance that your olive oil is not genetically modified. And now let's touch on solvents real quick. So solvents are used to extract oils from things that you can't just squeeze the oil out of. Mechanical extraction, which is called cold pressed extraction, and I'm sure you see that on bottles, cold pressed olive oil, things of that nature. Cold press is that process that involves just physically pressing the oil out of a plant material. So olive oil is produced this way, avocado oil and coconut. And if you're going to use a seed oil and you can find one that is a cold pressed seed oil, then you're in a much better position because that's going to be a really high quality of seed oil that solvents weren't used in. So solvents is this chemical process of extracting oil from things that can't be cold pressed. Now, usually chemical extraction involves a solvent that's called hexane. And hexane is used to extract the oil from the seeds, but then it goes through another distillation process in which the food manufacturer tries to remove most of the hexane. Now, trace amounts of that solvent are still going to be in the oil. And we're told that it's okay because the amounts of solvent that is left in the oil is below levels considered to be harmful. But what levels are harmful? Because not every human body is the same. Do you have a sensitivity to these things, right? We have to think about that. And do you want solvents in your food if you don't have to have solvents in your food? Now, I talked about smoke points and cooking with different oils. And here's an important thing to remember. Different oils start to break down at different temperatures. And they're called the stability. That's the stability of the oil, right? It comes in its form. Let's say cold-pressed olive oil is in this form. It's got all of this good stuff in it. And then you heat it up. And if you heat it beyond a certain point, the goodness in that oil starts to break down. And if it goes beyond that point, you can be potentially forming harmful compounds. So it's important to be aware of how to use these oils so you use them in the best manner and so you get the most health benefits from them. When they're overheated, the kind of harmful compounds that can be created are free radicals, sure you've heard about free radicals. These are things that are highly oxidative and they cause damage to your cells. They can speed up the aging process and they can contribute to things like heart disease, chronic diseases like cancer as well. There's other compounds, one called acrolein, which is a volatile compound that is toxic. It can irritate the eyes, the skin, and the respiratory system. And that's where you get that really nasty smell. You know, when oil gets burned and it gets that like acrid smell, that's the thing, that's the compound that's causing that smell. It also can create aldehydes. Aldehydes are potentially harmful compounds, and they're formed by the breakdown of fatty acid. Think about aldehydes, formaldehyde, acetaldehyde. These are things that are known to be toxic and carcinogenic. So cooking temperatures are really important. Then there's the good old trans fats. We hear a lot about trans fats. This is a hydrogenated fat. So when we talk about polyunsaturated, monounsaturated, let's say that we take a polyunsaturated fat, and it's liquid, right? It's not saturated, meaning that all of the spaces in its little molecular chain are not filled with something. And so oxygen can get into those spaces. So if oxygen gets into it, then it spoils faster. So what food companies do is they fill those spaces with hydrogen, making that fat into a different kind of animal that's more shelf stable so we can make more processed foods that don't spoil as quickly and they can stay on the shelf for longer periods of time, okay? That is a trans fat and it creates a lot of harm to the physical body. We want to avoid trans fats and foods with trans fats in them at all costs. They're very harmful to heart health and just overall health of the human body. So let's talk about smoke points. And I put these smoke points into the handout that you can download also at thebreastcancerrecoverycoach.com. So extra virgin olive oil. It's got a smoke point of 190 degrees Celsius to 220 degrees Celsius or 375 degrees Fahrenheit to 428 degrees Fahrenheit. So think about the heat that you cook your food with or how hot your food is getting, right? Especially if you're going to fry something in it. You should not be using olive oil if you're going to fry something in it. Avocado oil has a higher smoking point. So it's got a smoke point of about 520 degrees Fahrenheit or 270 degrees Celsius. It's one of the highest smoke points of all of the cooking oils. So you can safely use olive oil for things like frying, sauteing, grilling, roasting, and it's not going to break down and release harmful compounds. Refined coconut oil also has a higher smoke point. It's around 450 degrees Fahrenheit or 232 degrees Celsius. So coconut oil is good for baking. It can be used in frying. It can be used in sauteing at higher temperatures. But if it's unrefined coconut oil, it's going to have a lower smoke point. It's going to be about 350 degrees Fahrenheit. So something to be very mindful of. A lot of things I know when we're baking, it's about 350, but if it's 370, 425, something like that, you probably don't want to use an unrefined coconut oil. Okay, so let's talk for just a sec about what this means to not just us as humans who are concerned with the overall health, but what's the impact on breast cancer and these fats? Well, studies point to the fact that the higher we can increase our intake of omega-3s and decrease our intake of omega-6s, the more we reduce our risk of cancer and chronic illnesses. Because for reasons we just covered in this podcast, right? Inflammation, it causes all kinds of problems. So it just makes sense that the higher the omega-3 ratio is, the better. Now, I hear a lot of clients and people come to me that have triple negative breast cancer. And they say, well, triple negative breast cancer, we're supposed to stay away from fat. We're supposed to follow a low fat diet. And I think like in so much science that's out there, there are good quality studies and there are poor quality studies. And there's conflicting evidence. So in the show notes for this episode, I'm linking to several studies that talk about the ketogenic diet or the intake of fat and its relationship to triple negative breast cancer. So check that out and investigate that for yourself and see how you feel about it and what you think is true when it comes to the intake of fats and cancer. All right. I think that's about everything. That's a lot of information. Hopefully it's simplified to the fact, less processed food so you lower the omega-6 intake. Get seed oils out of your diet and turn to coconut oil, avocado oil, olive oil, right? These are simple ways to get healthier fats in our body and work towards reducing the systemic inflammation and protecting our bodies and increasing our optimal health so that we have the healthiest terrain possible. All right, friends, thank you for listening. Download that guide and come and talk to me. Ask your questions. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram as the Breast Cancer Recovery Coach, Laura Lemmer. And you can come and work with me in my Better Than Before Breast Cancer Life Coaching Membership, where we talk about all things life, all things, emotions, food, exercise, healthy boundaries, all the stuff we need to nurture and nourish the terrain of our bodies. You can find all that information on my website, thebreastcancerrecoverycoach.com/life coaching. All right, I'll talk to you again soon. Take care. Tame the voices in your head. You've put your courage to the test, laid all your doubts to rest. Your mind is clearer than before. Your heart is full and wanting more. Your future's at the door. Give it all you got. This is your moment.